Blog Talk Radio.
That is my cue, everyone. Welcome. You are listening to This Week in Health Innovation on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Greg Masters, the producer and your host for this show. This Week in Health Innovation is brought to you by Health Innovation Media, where we monitor the innovation impulse from idea to business model. Today, we continue to focus on innovative companies in the broadly cast health IT space, sourced in part from last month's HIMSS 14 conference in Orlando, Florida. And joining me today are two principals and co-founders of Conversa Health, Wes Schell, the third, founder and CEO. Follow on Twitter at Wes Schell, the number three. And Phil Marshall, MD, MPH, founder and chief product officer. Follow him on Twitter at Phil Marshall, PhilMarshallMD. Wes is a creative high-energy entrepreneur, strategic marketer, conceptual problem solver, and committed dad, environmentalist, and avid outdoorsman. He's has raised four successful companies and four inspired children over a 28-year C-level career, and we'll hear more about that shortly. While Phil's bio notes from music to surgery and healthcare technology, as in WebMD and Press Ganey, to social and rich media, Dr. Marshall is an entrepreneur who is an entrepreneur inspired to make things simpler and better. He also helps lead a large nonprofit performing arts organization, the Oregon Crusaders. A recent press release addressed the Conversa Health value proposition as follows. Conversa's platform allows physicians to find out how patients are doing between office visits through automated digital checkups. Patients are asked simple but precise questions such as, are you experiencing any of the following symptoms since your last visit, or are you still taking your blood pressure medication as prescribed? Wes and Phil, welcome to This Week in Health Innovation.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg. Great to be here.
Glad to have you. And we'll note Wes joins us from the Bay Area. And Phil, you're up there in the Pacific Northwest, correct?
Yep, that's right, getting a lot of rain today.
Yeah, the good news is we're getting some of that same rain, so we're on the same page.
Well, us Californians can relate to that drought pain. So, Wes, let's start with you. Why don't you give us a thumbnail on the genesis of the Conversa Health vision? What's the compelling market narrative here? And first up, give us a 30K foot perspective on your earlier ventures into the space, as in what you're bringing to the new company.
Well, as you know, I was for the last 8 years, I was chairman and CEO of Healthline, and you know we're involved in delivering health information to over 100 million consumers a month on behalf of major customers like Microsoft, IBM, United, Aetna, you know, Yahoo and others. And so I had firsthand a look at delivering health information to kind of drive better decision-making for consumers. And we had great metrics and there's some phenomenal work that's going on there. But, you know, it always occurred to me that there was this monster gap in the marketplace where, you know, once you left the doctor's office, you stopped being a patient. And I found it, and Phil and I had talked about this, and we'd worked together for the last year I was there, that this is going to seem absurd in 10 or 20 years when we realize the only time we actually talked with our doctor is when we were standing in front of him and probably sick with complications. It just doesn't seem right when you have your veterinary call you and find out how your dog is doing, or your car dealership is calling you and finding out when you bring your car in to get looked at. Those just don't seem to be the right priorities. And so for us, the notion of being able to really focus on the doctor-patient relationship and really form a communication bridge that drives better decision-making collaboratively and on a more continuous basis. It's just a phenomenal opportunity, and that's really the genesis of our starting this company.
So what made you look north to engage with Phil?
Well, I saw Phil actually, as you know, I've been a frequent speaker at Health 2.0, and I saw him up there a number of years ago with Wayne Gatinella from WebMD, and watching him up on stage and then getting a chance to meet him, I was just absolutely impressed. I thought, you know, here's one of the best product minds in healthcare. And so we kept in touch, and I actually hired him as a consultant for the last year I was at Healthline to work on some different projects, and we just, you know, I just think the world of him, and I said if I could ever start a company, it would be with somebody that had this kind of vision and experience, and I was lucky enough to have the timing work out for both of us.
So, Phil, let me ask you, some think that the epicenter of all health innovation or innovation in the tech space is in Silicon Valley and nowhere else, but apparently there's something going up in the Pacific Northwest. Tell us your perspective on joining the Conversa Health vision.
Yeah, absolutely. And so as Wes said, we've worked together, and we've had a great respect for each other for a long time. Timing was just perfect. You know, after having helped to create the products and services that WebMD sells to employers and health plans, and then running product strategy and product management at Press Ganey, and after having come from a clinical background of having been trained in general surgery and working with Kaiser Permanente and others on their electronic health record systems, you know, I gained a lot of perspective about where the market's going and the role that consumers can play in being more equal partners in their care. And when you think about a lot of the stuff that we were working on at Press Ganey had to do with payment reform, quality measurement reporting, et cetera. And so it just seemed pretty clear that the role of the patient is going to elevate, especially as we move towards more performance-based payment models. And so timing was just absolutely right. And Wes and I had already been talking about this idea about, as Wes said, you know, how ridiculous it is that that doctors and their patients don't stay connected in a more continuous fashion. And I said, well, I think we can do this in a smart way. I think we can do it in a way that can integrate with the clinical workflow, be very easy for end users to interact with, and so let's give it a go. And it's really resonating. We're now, you know, in our first live pilot with a primary care practice, and learning a great deal, and it's being really well received. So timing's good.
So let me ask you this. That's interesting. So you're a general surgeon by training, but you have an MPH, and that might be considered an unusual suspect to be engaged in this type of fulfillment. Is that correct?
Yes, I should be treated suspiciously. and so, yes, it's a very suspicious combination.
I can vouch for that.
So, I mean, the thing is that, you know, many years ago, I switched from surgery to public health and technology specifically, because I just saw some bigger opportunities in the market and for how things were going to go, and especially the role of patients. You know, I didn't quit a clinical career without first just really having a very clear notion of what digital technology is going to do to help raise the profile of patients and their importance in the healthcare system, and have dedicated really my career to that since day one. So, what can I say? I guess an entrepreneurial spirit took on many years ago.
Well, if I'm correct, you're in good company. I think Jack Cochran also is a general surgeon who found his way into orchestrating an integrated delivery system in ways that some might be surprised by. So let's go back. Let's talk a little bit about the market, the structural characteristics of this market, and why is the Conversa Health platform innovative? Can we talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the interesting thing, obviously, there's this huge transformation in the healthcare space, is obviously addressing this unsustainable cost structure. And if you look at the different categories of companies that are going to try to, help drive this change, you're looking at classic web information portals, you're looking at population health management, provider search companies, patient education companies. Obviously, the EHR is kind of the bedrock of the provider system. These new the old care management systems, they're all trying to do different ways to be able to provide efficiency to drive drive the cost down. Patient relationship management is really a new area, and it's one that needs a lot of focus because fundamentally, if you look at the data, and everybody's talking big data and little data and medium data, but at the end of the day, the data that's probably the most important is patient-generated data that's continuous, that's real-time, that gets fed back into the overall profile that both the doctor and the patient can use in their decision-making. So we believe that we're going to become a real leader in patient-generated data. How do we secure it? How do we manage it? How do we analyze it? How do we bring that back both in the clinical workflow, but also make it consistent and understandable and personalized to the patient so they can better understand what's happening with their condition, what do they need to do to stay healthy, how do they minimize their risks. And so we look at Conversa as a real important layer in this process. And so we see things on the horizon like the biometric data, that's coming through the wearables. I mean, that's going to be a whole nother set of patient-generated data that will be fed back appropriately through our system back into the EHR and be able to be used as part of a digital care regimen. So we think some real innovation and real IP that we're going to be building that's going to help help this whole process accelerate.
So who becomes the customer here? Arguably, it might be that in the first wave of tech transfer, so to speak, stimulated in part by high tech and the era, was institutional players like health plans, perhaps some hospital systems. Who's the customer here for the Conversa Health platform?
Yeah, I mean, we clearly are focused on the provider systems, so the kind of the medium to large provider systems, absolutely. Obviously, with the advent of the ACO, the payers are very, very interested in what we're doing because obviously we're driving a much better set of outcomes. So, ultimately, we've got there'll be channel partners. Many of the categories of people that we talked about in care management, the EHR systems, these are channel partners. I mean, we're going to – every EHR, for instance, has a secure messaging component as part of their platform. We're going to be able to provide the real intelligence behind that so that we can start to use that pipe to more effectively communicate between the patient and the doctor. But fundamentally, the providers are the ones that are going to be leveraging the system to help drive change.
And you're not looking at one-off physician offices. You're looking at perhaps medical groups, networks, management
Correct.
Companies?
Yeah. I mean, we want to get to scale. And, well, there's 220,000 primary care physicians. And so within that, the kind of 10-plus practices represent roughly 20 to 30% of that marketplace. And that's a big sweet spot for us. But clearly, as the hospital systems are taking over, they're becoming more accountable and really looking at buying up practices. That's going to be a major part of our overall go-to-market strategy.
And I'm on the website. I'm looking at some of the value prop is identify patients that need to be seen, meet performance-based payment incentives, continuously monitor patient progress and outcomes. You know, one might say that's de facto population health management.
Well, I mean, fundamentally, it is providing continuous monitoring of patient panels. And so the ability for us to allow the doctor to have a much more scalable practice where he can start to do a much better job monitoring various patient populations and kind of delivering digital care to those patients is a big piece of it, and having the analytics on the other side of it. So we straddle a bunch of these different paradigms.
And there seems to be two principles. Go ahead, Phil.
Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, you know, I was just going to add that. You know, when you look at the array of data that's going to be needed to look at your populations to understand whether you're on track with hitting your quality metrics for those populations, understanding who's potentially going to get hospitalized due to these complications, you inevitably have a combination of data. You know, the clinical data that's gathered in the clinical practice, you know, the lab test results that show the hemoglobin A1Cs of the patients, the self-reported data has to be added into that clinical data. And we really see patient self-reported data as being clinical data, as being valid clinical data that when gathered properly gives that level of insight into the population that is extremely important and has to be done. You have to have it, complementing your other clinical data and really in order to provide the right level of insight. So it's got to be a combination of these things. Patients really can help to make sure that the practice has the right data to work from a population basis.
If you could get your arms around that fire hose, that would be an amazing contribution going forward as we move into this patient-reported information era. So you have two pieces here, or so it appears. You've got the digital health checkup piece, but you've also got the health education component. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, Phil, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So, yeah, you're right. So it's really it really blends to be really a continuum of both educating the patient, elevating their level of health literacy and knowledge, while also asking the right questions at the right time to better understand where they are with regard to their health status. And so the process of education is something we really fully believe in and weaving into that process seamlessly. And our take on education is perhaps, a little bit different than the traditional model of patient education in that we really do embrace the use of rich media and video. We do have unique technology that we bring to bear when it comes to personalizing in a very clinical way based on the clinical attributes of the patient, personalizing to them video that can help them understand the array of issues that they're dealing with. And so that's some unique technology that we have in addition to our digital checkups. But really weaving in that education is critical because every step of the way, if the patient isn't on track with keeping their blood pressure under control, why is that? Is it that they don't have the financial means to pay for their medications or their blood pressure cuff? Is it because they don't understand the implications as well as they possibly could in keeping it under good control? You know, this is a great point because take high blood pressure, for example. If a person develops congestive heart failure from having chronic hypertension, then one hospitalization alone is going to cost more than $10,000. And that's entirely avoidable, and you can go way upstream, just like we did last week with a patient at our pilot health clinic, Greenfield Health, where we identified that a patient wasn't taking their medications because they weren't able to afford it, and there was a miscommunication with the health plan that once the office stepped in and helped facilitate that, they got coverage, they were able to get their meds, and now, you know, they're able to have better control. And so identifying those kinds of issues early, this is the kind of thing that you could not find. You could not identify that issue if you didn't ask. and education is something that really weaves in nicely because then the patient understands the implications and the need to be on track.
So let me ask you a follow-up on that, Phil. You mentioned the pilot, Greenfield Health. T- tell us a little bit about the practice. Is it a traditional billing and collections, fee-for-service driven practice? Is it a direct practice? Is it a hybrid? Are they at risk? What's their profile and in terms of what you're assimilating with?
Well, it's a hybrid practice. It's a internal medicine practice, and it's been recognized in USA Today and New York Times as really being thought leaders on the relationship that they build with their patients and the kind of patient experience they provide. But it is a hybrid. They do bill insurance while also kind of going above and beyond from a concierge standpoint in being fully accessible electronically. And so they have embraced electronic connectivity wholeheartedly. And as such, you know, create a different kind of relationship. And within that context, we're learning a lot. We're learning a lot about workflow integration. We have integrated with their electronic health record and are pushing the notifications for the digital checkups and for education into their secure inbox that they have for their patients as well. And now we're looking at what patient-generated data and what frequency will go back into their electronic health record. So we are really, we think, the first to really learn about how this process will work in that primary care setting and what patient-generated data will complement that other clinical data in the electronic health record best.
And how would you characterize progress towards the physician dashboard?
Yeah, well, I can tell you that the integration with the EHR in order to initiate and prescribe these digital checkups has gone really well, super simple to use. We really do provide a pretty stark contrast to the electronic health record systems when it comes to our dashboard's ease of use. For example, in the 3 weeks since we started the pilot, the physicians have not yet had to put in one keystroke, one letter. All they do is touch our cards to prescribe these protocols and configure them, but without having to put in one keystroke from the keyboard. So it's pretty remarkable contrast on its ease of use, and that's been well received, and that's what's been helping us to facilitate getting these digital checkups in play.
I would say that any signal-to-noise contribution there would be rather well embraced. We have kind of an interesting market, you know, physicians, health tech, health information, electronic health records, and so forth. There's a lot of noise out there in terms of the level of satisfaction and the churn in the industry and so on and so forth. So hasn't really been a sweet spot realized, but there certainly is hunger for solutions.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. The response at HIMSS was just overwhelming. And, you know, a lot of the very big booths there, the senior executives found their way to our booth, our little bitty booth. And I think the chorus of demand, which is, you know, this is a major gap in the market that needs to be addressed, was gratifying for us. And you talked about, you know, kind of who are the channel partners and where is this market going? I think everybody realizes, and you certainly saw that in the recent HIT committee, stage three meaningful use finding that basically said we're going to bring patient-generated data into the mix here and in a big way. And so everybody recognizes, I think, that this is a big opportunity, and it's one that's actually going to augment many of the other solutions that they have in the marketplace, whether it be care management, whether it be the population health management, the classic EHR platforms, all need to have a better pipe to deliver and secure information back from the patient. So I think the timing here is absolutely fantastic.
Okay, well, some other thoughts I was having is, this is from a segmentation standpoint in terms of your target customer. I mean, you could be not just health systems, integrated delivery systems, physician networks, medical groups, risk and non-risk, but the entire sphere of the direct practice space, which is something that's emerging, as well as ACOs, you know, of various stripes, whether they're Medicare certified or an accountable care collaboration negotiated with a payer or all payer arrangement. They all have to get their arms around this, don't they?
Oh, they do. I mean, there's no question that we look at our ROI, our value proposition from an ROI perspective, at both a fee-for-service model, which we can bring the patients in that need to be seen, and they can actually upcode because they're actually delivering a more valuable visit, right down back to the looking at shared risk models and understanding how keeping people out of the system is going to drive a much greater long-term ROI. So it's a, you know, the transformation that's happening through payment reform is fantastic, and it's getting everybody focused on making sure you keep people healthy. But the size and the shape of the customers and the kind of the way everything now is, the speed at which things are moving, which frankly was quite a bit of a surprise to us, that you had these major payers basically saying over half of their business is going to be under performance-based payment models here in the next few years, much quicker than we expected. So that's just going to accelerate the demand for these kinds of solutions, I think.
Phil, any thoughts?
So, no, I think Wes said it just right. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, for those that may not be familiar, we talk sometimes in terms of industry jargon from volume to value and value-based payment. But we've got things like population, budget, population-based budgeted payment risk up and down, or just shared savings. We've got bundled payment initiatives. All seem to put the priority on accountability in between. I referred to it earlier today on Twitter as the interstitial space. You know, the in between.
Right.
Yeah, there's an awful lot going on there, and there hasn't been a whole lot of mindfulness around it. So yeah, 5-8 years from now, we may look back and say, you know, what took it so long? I mean, it's like, wow, I could have had, you know, we should have done this 10 years ago. But it sounds like we're at a tipping point here. I mean, we've got countries at risk, and not just companies anymore. And we
right.
used to contain this health reform conversation or the imperative for change inside private boardroom conversations, whereas now it's basically it's an entire national narrative, global actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's something to realize. That patients want to help achieve positive outcomes, right? You don't always see the kind of alignment in healthcare that we see between doctors, payers, and patients on wanting positive outcomes, and there's nobody that wants them more than the patients themselves. They are willing to help. They do want to help ensure that, and they want to stay in touch with their doctor. But right now, the way that we're set up, and this is changing, is that, you know, if you look at the general internal medicine practice, the vast majority, usually over 75% of the patients that are coming through the door, have been brought back as a matter of routine, not because they absolutely need to be there. Oftentimes it's, you know, the 3-month check back on your chronic condition, or it's the check back in 2 weeks for your back pain. You know, is there really a need to bring those folks back into the office if they're doing okay? Or instead, if you do full population monitoring, can you instead identify those that need to come back? You know, we've done a pretty deep economic analysis on this, and the results for the practice economically are just absolutely astounding if you are focused on identifying and bringing back those patients that need to be seen, and think about the impact of that on those quality measures and how that then impacts performance-based payment. It's an extraordinary alignment. We just have to have the right infrastructure in place, light touch, easy to use, surfacing those important signals to the practice to make sure they're focusing on the right patient at the right time.
Perfect. Well said. Comes to mind is spend-based inertia, you know, because we always did it this way versus what's right for the patient. So
right.
This may be the new zeitgeist. So we're at the near the bottom of the hour. Do we have any final thoughts that either of you two would like to make at this point?
I only just say that to kind of reinforce what Phil just mentioned. I mean, the notion of actually transforming how doctors view their relationship with their patients and making sure that they have the kinds of tools that are ultimately going to allow them to focus on the patients that really need their help and to make sure that they have communication and continuous dialogue with the balance of their patient panel. That's really, I think, going to, at the end of the day, spell the difference. And having the patient themselves feel like they have a doctor-sponsored set of information by which they can use as guideposts on their decision-making. Again, that's the other side of the coin. But both of those together, I think, fundamentally will drive costs down and make people healthier. And that's really what we're all about.
Phil, final thoughts?
Yeah, I just think that it's really all about timing. The timing to elevate the patient as an equal partner in their care is now. The stars are aligned. Patients want to do it. Doctors want to do it. Let's get this done.
Well said. And that will be the last word. We've been speaking with Wes Schell and Phil Marshall, co-founders, principals at Conversa Health. Check them out on the web, conversahealth.com. And follow them on Twitter as a company at Conversa Health and individually Wes Schell, #3, and Phil Marshall, MD, on Twitter. So we've been speaking about the health innovation impulse here from the point of view of making a difference in the digital health checkup space. And we'll hear a lot more about that shortly. And, guys, when can we expect some report on the pilot up at Greenfield Health?
I think we'll certainly, it's not just going to be Greenfield, we'll be rolling out other pilots here in the not-too-distant future. So you'll be hearing a lot about what we're doing here in the next probably couple months.
Okay. Well, thanks again for joining us today on This Week in Health Innovation. Greg Master saying bye now.